You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Andrea Gitz. Andrea, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Let's talk about what you're working on now, or in most immediately, or if you're working on more than one project, a sketch of what's happening at the moment.
I have three current projects in the works. They're all very different in nature. This is sort of where my interest lies, to play with different materials. One of them is sort of dinner conversation, and it involves dishes and sort of subjects that are not supposed to be brought up during dinners.
I love the way that sounds. Like what? What shouldn't we talk about during dinner?
Well, you know, there's always at formal dinners, at employee dinners, there's certain subjects that officially are off the table, and through this project, I'm kind of bringing them onto the table. So it's a play on words. It's supposed to be slightly sociocritical, but also have a twist of humor in it. A lot of my work plays on words and sort of I'm looking for a smile or a smirk. So,
well, I'm smiling. So to tell me a little bit how that'll play out. How will that actually be?
They will not be dishes that can be used. But I'm adapting, and this is all I'm currently working on, models and materials that we're going to use. I'm using shapes of very traditional dishes and vessels that everybody will clearly recognize. And within those vessels or dishes, there will be a play on words. There might be voids in the dishes, so you couldn't actually use it as a dish because it would be leaking. So it's using tradition and modern technology and sort of making a statement, having a say without having to mention the word. So.
And how would that be presented? Would it be in the context of an actual dinner, or how would that?
I'm not that far along at this point. I'm working on individual pieces. One way that it could be presented is in a museum show, that it would be mounted. Ideally, I sort of would like to create a dinner scenario, and even if it were in a gallery space or at a museum, I also very much enjoy working in alternative spaces, sort of throw in an unexpected element, that it actually would become, a dinner would be happening. Maybe on other tables around it, this could be the focal point, the tablescape of the dinner. So, which could be a whole.
But people might actually be eating. I mean, I know it's just being formed now, but it makes me think of a sort of like futurist kitchens, or you know, that kitchen in the 70s in New York. This idea of artists working with food and diners and that whole aspect of, you know, getting together, or even Ricrettiere Venezia kind of thing. But artists working with dinner. Would it be something as straight as that, or?
It could leak into like almost a performance. So when art becomes part of the dinner, as I said, I'm not that far along, but I like to present my work in unexpected ways, involve other people, have an interaction with the pieces, and what better way if it is about dishes and dining conversation and so forth. So,
well, and what better way to stimulate dining conversation than talking about what can't be talked about?
Exactly. You're sort of throwing it out there. It is on the table. So let's see who, you know, who joins in. So that's one of the projects.
And when you say you're working on that project, and that's happening in the studio, you're making objects, which means you're making plates now, or what are you actually
at this point,
like
at
making?
At this point, it's pretty much sketched, and I have the idea of the pieces I want to use because certain dishes just lent themselves better because there's already a play of words built into the actual dish. And then I'm looking at I'm currently making prototypes out of like almost a plaster material. Eventually, I would like to create them in porcelain. And so for that, I would involve a manufacturer, and they would be made on site at the manufacturer's.
I see. And what else are you working on now? Because I know there's more than one thing. This is in progress and maybe
mounted
at some point.
I also am very interested in current events and sort of global issues. I recently did an installation called White Collar Crime Scene, where I have this fascination with things where for an actual crime scene, we usually know exactly where everything happens. We know where the bullet landed. We know how far away, by the millimeter, how far away things are from each other. Everything is documented to the T. White-collar crime only works if we know very little about it. So that was sort of a subject that fascinated me. And I created an offshore laundry, where we actually used, it was installed in an old shutdown steam plant, and they had these machines that looked like old laundry machines, and so the entire installation came out of that vessel, which symbolized the laundry, and then it went offshore, and it had a lot of plays on word on it. I created a custom shirt where I would laser hand cut and stiffen the shirt, and it would say "lost my shirt" on it, or
it would say what am I lost my shirt or
lost my shirt because sometimes we don't know where the funds
right,
go,
sure.
So we can. So it was a play on words. There were two shirts that were connected, and it was strings attached, and one of them were the U.S. financial hubs, and the strings attached to the other shirt, and it showed all those offshore locations in the Caribbean and other places in the world. So those are subjects that fascinated me, and it had a lot of really good response. And so I'm currently interested in a project where...
Well, wait a minute. Before you tell me about the current project, I mean, the next thing, in the offshore project, I mean, obviously that's, you know, referencing all those kind of right offshore accounts and this whole economic system. How did you actually do it? That was in a small boat you were using or a piece of land?
No, I actually created a laundry line. I actually created laundry pieces and it was an offshore line.
Oh, I see. You mean out of cloth? Oh,
exactly, out of fabric.
An offshore line of clothing.
Exactly. And then each piece, one of them was a giant white collar. And then the label inside, you know, sort of detailed, instead of saying it's 100% cotton and... You know, it said things like 30% greed, crafted by financial artisans. So you take the structure and the tradition of a traditional label in any piece of clothing we have, but you play on the words, and you specifically create it for that particular piece. So... It was a very interesting, very well-received piece, and it was a lot of fun for me to create. Very much enjoyed it.
That sounds great. It doesn't sound very, like I would imagine it would get a good reaction. By you said it was received well, and what do you mean by that? How did people react?
It started a conversation, which I loved. People would stop. Some people walk, you know, like any installation you have, some people stop, some people walk by, some people think, oh, they're fun shirts. People that actually took the time to read the instructions and labels that came with it, and I personally attended very much of the opening hours at the space because it's a piece that I I wanted to create a conversation. I wanted to stir a thought. And a lot of people loved the fact that it was, it's a dark subject, and it could be, some people are very angry about it. I didn't want it to be about that. I wanted it to be thought-provoking, but also with a sense of humor. With, and it does exist, and let's talk about it. These are the issues, and art has a way of presenting things that usually they're discussed in economical newspapers or articles, and a lot of people will not pay attention. By having the visual aspect of it, it can start a dialogue, open an interest.
Well, absolutely, and so that's clear. So then, and then there's another project that you're also working on at the moment.
Yes, and so a project that falls into the global issue one, I'm fascinated by, we know what comes in these shipping containers from China. I live close to the harbor in L.A. I see those ships come in, and we all know what comes from China to North America. I'm currently researching what goes the other way. What's on those container ships when they leave the L.A. harbor and go to China? Sort of what is to them made in North America? And that's in very early stages. I'm doing really studying researches, statistics. I have no idea yet how that project is, how I will present it, what materials will be used. No idea at this point.
Well, that's interesting. So this is about, I don't see something like that coming in, of course, because I'm on the other coast, but I could imagine that. So you see all these giant containers coming in on ships, and it's, and they're obviously filled with millions of cubic feet of, I don't know what,
yeah,
stuff from China, all that stuff we see from China. But you're saying the other way, they're also full and they all go back there.
Yeah, I mean, what's being transported back? They're not sending these things empty.
They are sending them all back, though. They are sending
they
them
are.
Back.
They have to go back so they can bring a new shipment. So I'm sort of researching what happens on this return trip. And maybe I will come to the conclusion that it's not an interesting subject. At this point, I'm very fascinated by it, and I'm doing the research, and I'm, as I said, it's very early stages, so, but it's something I'm...
Well, it's an interesting question because, you know, it does seem like we're flooded with millions of things made in China, and you would think China would be equally flooded with things made in North America if they're going back full, unless they're rocks or something. I mean, that's the, what else could it be?
Well, I'll tell you when I find out.
That's very interesting. And what got you involved in this kind of work that is both kind of socio-political, but also very, very humorous at times?
I think part of it might be my background. I have a degree in business and marketing, and I spent 15 years in the corporate world. I used to work for foreign governments. I was born in Switzerland, born and raised in Switzerland, and then I moved to the U.S. when I was 25. And global issues, political issues have always really interested me. But I also... I like to inject a slice of humor into my life and into my work wherever I can. So, and some of these installations contain both in the end. That's my goal. Sometimes if the subject is too dark, it doesn't always turn out that way. But
it's an unusual background to come from, kind of marketing and business to... I mean, it's almost the opposite, really, what you're doing now, isn't it? Or
it is. Art has always been part of my life. I never thought I would be a practicing artist. And about 10 years ago, I went back to school at night. And one thing I love about art is that it can make a statement without actually the spoken word. And again, it can be very powerful in a very quiet way. I mean, if you look at Ai Weiwei's art, you know, you could you could sit there for hours. And when I just recently saw his work in London, and after you leave, you want to know more about the artist and you want to know more about the issues that he touches. And to me, that's very powerful, and that really interests me.
That is powerful, of course, and that interests me too. How was it that, was there a point where you left your job completely and transitioned into another way of working while you were making art, or how did that transition go for you from corporate world to being an artist?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I originally went back to school for myself, strictly for my own interest. I just felt like I had this interest in art and design, and I wanted to know more about it. I wanted to learn more about woodworking. I wanted to know more about the business of art. It really was a personal interest. I never thought it would turn into somewhat of a career. I mean, I still have side jobs in the corporate world. I'm not a 100% an artist, but I try and spend more and more time at it, and it fascinates me. It's my passion. It's what I truly enjoy. And for me,
but it also has it's dialogue with the corporate world, doesn't it? I mean, if you're still one foot in the corporate world to some degree, like you're saying, isn't the art also critiquing that and sometimes making fun of that at the same time?
Yes and no. Yes, there is. I think there are a lot of things, and I think it's also because I understand that world. And I've lived that world. And there's, you know, it's given me 15 very interesting years when I was fully immersed in that world. And I'm now in a different chapter. And I thoroughly enjoy what I do now. If I could do it 100%, I probably would. I mean, I would still be involved in the my interest in global issues would never diminish. I mean, that's something that's part of me. But I would probably focus 100% on art if I could. But does it at times make fun of work
of the corporate world?
Yeah.
Maybe not make fun directly, but I mean in a kind of wonderful way, it's in a humorous way that doesn't seem to be so, you know, I mean, maybe sometimes it is kind of skewering of the corporate world or aspects of it, but it seems like it's a nice balance in a way to be not just completely divorcing these two worlds where you still have one part of you that's still involved in the corporate world, but also using that as a material to some degree.
I mean, for me, it's very thought-provoking, and it's interesting, and it's there are so many subjects that you can work around. It's, for me, it provides so much material. That I have way too many ideas to what I ever can produce. So the ideas are always there. It presents itself. It's there. It's right for the picking. To me, it's very obvious. And
when you talk about a lot of material that's there, I mean, even as you say it, it sounds to me like there's a lot of humorous material as opposed to just all the conflict that of course is there and all the questions that you seem to be finding an endless amount of humor in the situation, which is kind of wonderful and way to approach it, if that's correct. Is that generally how you approach it? You see humor in the situation of...
I see facts, and I don't want to make it just black and white or just like the big bad economy, because to me that's not it. It, you know, it takes everything. It takes collectors for artists to be working. It takes a lot of art is created because somebody else can't fund it. So I see both worlds, and I try and state the fact, but also add some humor to it, not make it all dark, if that makes sense. So
it does. Well, I think humor gives us a way to enter into some of those things. I mean, you know, offshore, you know, money laundering to so many other things you were talking about. These aren't dark topics, but but humor allows us to enter into them, perhaps in a way that we might not want to otherwise. It doesn't seem like a kind of topic I'd like to kind of ruminate about too long without.
Yes, I think that's very true. I think very well put. Yes.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you about this. And there'll be links to, you know, your work, perhaps, and images in this, in the text of this interview. But is there anywhere where some work of yours can be seen, or anywhere you want to point the listeners to in closing the interview at all?
Most of my work can be seen on my website. I right now do not have any work at a gallery or a museum. I just pulled some. My last installation, my last piece was at Torrance Art Museum, which they just closed a few weeks ago. And I will be part of a very interesting show called Mass Attack. It is something, it's an organization in LA that creates these events where it's one night only. It's 100 artists from LA and 100 artists from San Diego. We get together for a one-night art happening, and it creates great community. It's very interesting events. We become each other's resources and support system. So they're fun events, and I find very productive for artists.
And who are those events organized by?
They are organized through Atra Couturiel, which... Max Presnell, who is the director of the Torrance Art Museum, he's very much involved in alternative spaces and ways to show art, and he really has been a force in this in LA. And I think
so he organizes those events.
Yes, yes. But then very much it becomes a team effort. I mean, we carpool. You have to show up yourself. You cannot hand your work to somebody else. You need to attend the opening. And it's sort of a very self-sufficient, effective way. And it's a lot of fun for the artists, and it gives a lot of us, as I said, it gives us a sense of community. It gives us, we become a support system for each other. And we get to see other artists' work, and potential collaborations come out of it.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I want to just tell you it's been a pleasure talking, and I appreciate you taking this time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.